Blog Talk Radio.
Doing, and may I thank you in advance for what you're going to do.
Thank you
for your ultra awesome working power. God, nobody is ultra awesome but you. We thank you. We praise your holy name. We give you the glory and all of the honor, all of the praise. I want to just thank you, Lord, for allowing all of us to wake up this morning.
Yes.
Giving us restoration and right minds. Amen. Some people woke up, they couldn't move. But here we are able to move our hands and feet and have the activities of our limbs.
Yes.
So many people take it for granted, but what a wonderful and mighty, mighty miracle that is. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for eyes to see.
Thank you.
Can we imagine how many people woke up blind and couldn't even see the wall?
Mm-hmm.
We are able to look around the room.
Yes, Lord.
The presence of the Lord. What a wonderful blessing.
Yes.
Lord, we can't afford to take anything you do for granted.
Mm.
Those things are huge things. And
thank you.
The huge things are huge things. Everything you do is a huge thing.
Yes,
we want to give you the glory and the praise for it. I'm asking you, look on the people today. Let them receive blessings. Don't let them leave here the same way they came.
Oh,
bless this prayer line. Heal and deliver in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Touch each person on this prayer line. Give them the desires of their heart.
Yes.
I pray that you forgive all sin, every sin of commission, the things that we've done, Lord, and the sins of omission, the things that you told us to do that we haven't accomplished yet. Forgive us and give us time to do it, we pray. And then help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. To love our enemies, to do good to those who despitefully use us.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. And may I say this, Lord, everything I ask you this morning, would you consider this? And I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus. For you said in your word that if I ask anything in your name, you would do it, that the Father may be glorified. I ask you, Lord, that you would rebuke the enemy. In the name of Jesus, from all of our homes, from all of our lives, and give us grace and mercy to stand in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you look on every person.
Mm.
Lord, our souls say yes to you. Our hearts say yes to you. Our minds say yes to you. Let no weapon formed against us prosper. And let every tongue that may try to rise against us, let it be put down in the name of Jesus. Let it be condemned in Jesus' name. I pray that you draw us closer to thee. Help us to lift up.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us to lift you up.
Help us, Lord.
And
help
use for your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord,
Lord,
I pray that you go to the emergency rooms with every person who has to go. And if they have the faith, I speak to that mountain right now and command it to move in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it.
Thank you.
Give us a renewed mind in thee, Lord. Touch everyone on this line. We rebuke sickness, pain, and disease. We rebuke strokes and sickle cell and every kind of disease that arises here. Oh, God, touch it. Zap it. In the name of Jesus. Pray for those behind prison bars that you help them, Lord. That you bring them out in Jesus' name. Pray for amazing grace. And Lord, help us to complete our building for thy glory, that people may have a place to come and worship and have a place to come and be nurtured in thee. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Yeah, thank you for great health and great strength and for so many things, Lord. We pray for for all persons on this prayer line. Bless, bless, bless. Bless, 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 bless. Save our children. Bless, bless, bless. Bless, 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 bless. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. And for the glory of God, I ask it. Thank God. Name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. And it is done. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And good morning to all of you who are on the prayer line. Good morning to you and you and you and everyone, everywhere. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bless you. Won't y'all wake up here and give the Lord praise?
Good morning.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Good morning.
Raise up and give the Lord. Amen. God has been so good and so kind. My God, He is multitudinous. He blesses His people and the multitude everywhere. Amen. And you owe the Lord some praise. May I remind you?
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
You owe Him some praise.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. All the times that He's helped you through your storms, helped you through the rain. Oh, God. Yeah. Help you through your trials and your tribulations. Didn't have no money, and the Lord blessed you with money. Oh.
Amen.
You were sick, and God healed your body when the doctor couldn't even find out what was wrong. God, who made the body, knew exactly what it was. And even though you thanked Him once, but you know, you may not even known it, but the devil sent a drunk driver to try to kill you. And God saw it and told him not so, and made it go another way. And you owe Him some praise. I'm going to have a praise check, see what level your praise is up on, or on. And I want you to open your mouth this morning, not 12 noon in the midday hour or late at night right now. I'm asking you, can you give Him a praise first thing? This is first fruits, and I want to see what your praise is. Praise check in the name of But you can't wait till the battle's over to thank Him. I mean, He's working for you all the time. Stop and give Him praise and thanks in the midst of the battle. Yeah, I brought a message one time, what to do in the midst of the storm. Yeah. Yeah. So you can't wait till the storm is over. You're going to have some more storms. You'll be waiting on your life to thank Him. You've got to learn how to thank Him right while you're going through. Because if you can praise Him while you're going through, you can praise yourself, praise your way to a miracle. Yeah. You can praise your way to a miracle. And learn how to praise Him while you're going through your storm. God bless all of you. And I want to welcome you again to the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Line. And I want to welcome all of our listeners from the blog line. I want to thank you, Ambassador Hagan, for making that possible and for financially undergirding that. Thank you so much. I hope I haven't messed up, but I just want you to know that we appreciate you doing that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless all of you. The Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. Yeah, and I just want to praise him for what he's done and for what he's doing on this wonderful friend line. Bless you. I'm still teaching on the Holy Ghost. One thing that I've noticed that people are not doing nowadays, many places, they're not teaching on the Holy Ghost. I asked the Lord, Lord, what do the people need the most? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he's the keeper. He is our helper. And we need the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, after Jesus went to Calvary, died on the cross, then rose from the dead with all power in his hand, and ascended to the Father. The Father sent to give back to us, which will abide with us forever. And that gift is the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I want every gift from the Father that he sends. And I trust him that much. The gift has to be so wonderful. And I believe that every person would want the gift from the Father if they understood more about the gift. But one of the problems that we've had throughout the ages is that many people who have the gift of the Holy Ghost, they got it, but they haven't known how to explain what they got. The Jehovah Witnesses come to your house and they've been trained and can explain everything to you. But we who are the saints of the Lord, we got it. But we're not able to explain what we got. That's not good. I said that's not good. We're living in an age nowadays where people want to know and everything is why. And it has to make sense. I'm one of those type of people. Things have to make sense to me for me to move on. Otherwise, I can't accept it because it doesn't make sense. I want to ask a few questions about the Holy Ghost, and maybe I get a chance to answer a few of them today, and maybe this might make sense. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What do you mean, since I believed? Since you got saved, if you've been saved, that's the first step. You have to give your heart and your mind to Jesus. You were made in God's own image, yeah? Yeah, but you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You have to invite him in, and he will come in if you invite him. But he's not dwelling in any hearts and minds who really don't want him in their life. Don't worry about Jesus pushing his way in your life. If you don't want him, don't worry about him coming in. He waits on you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with you. In other words, I'll come into your life. I'll come into your heart if you invite me in. All right? And the Holy Ghost is the same way. You have to want him more than anything in the world, and you must invite him into your life. Now, as I'm going back, first step is to get saved. What does that mean? You've heard it all your life. Can you explain it? It simply means Jesus to come into your heart and wash you and get all that mess out of your life and make you whiter than snow. Get all that disrespect to your elders out, all that nasty attitude. I've seen folk who claim to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but they have the nastiest attitude you want to see. I've seen people claim to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I don't remember them in my life for being so chaste. I don't remember them for not lying and not committing adultery and not going to the gambling casino. I don't remember them for that. I don't remember them for not for not cussing folk out like you've heard. I don't remember for them for that, but what I remember them for most, the most, is that they were the meanest person I ever met in my life. That's what I remember them for. Listen, if you got the Holy Ghost, you claim to be so sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not a mean person. The Holy Ghost is not mean. The Holy Person is the most loving person on the face of this earth. Yeah. So you get the Holy Ghost in your life, you become sweet. You become kind. You just listen to him. He'll make you a wonderful person. People will want to just have what you got. Because they say, oh, my God, that person is so wonderful. Amen. I heard them get cussed out. And they turn, after getting cussed out, they turn around and say, darling, I want to tell you I love you. And I know that that's what you're doing. But I'm wrestling against flesh and blood. Yeah. I'm wrestling not against flesh and blood, excuse me, but against principalities and against the rulers of the darkness. And see, the Holy Ghost makes you a sweet person, makes you a wonderful person, makes you kind, makes you love your enemies. Amen. Give him time. He'll work on you and get all that stuff out of you. So have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe you need the Holy Ghost? Secondly, what is the Holy Ghost? See, that's what I was saying. A lot of people have the Holy Ghost, but they haven't been able to explain what it is. I must say it is indescribable. But the Bible tells us what the Holy Ghost is in John 14 and 26. The Bible says this, and I don't know how you can beat the Bible. It says, but the Holy Ghost, I get the right word in there. It says, but the Comforter. Yeah, and then it tells us which is the Holy Ghost. Let me read that again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, right there in John 14, 26, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, the etymological root of the word comforter, by where it came from, the word comforter in the Greek is parakletos, which is translated as helper. See, just like we got courts here in America and people get in trouble and you get the lawyer to represent you to try to get you out of trouble, in the Greek court they had the law court, and the paraclete Greek court was used helper. Somebody who's got two phones on need the Holy Ghost to help give you wisdom. Double signal. All right. It was called the paraclete. The name was used there in the Greek court as a person who would help the person who was in trouble. And it came to be known as a paraclete, which is the helper. And then in the spirit realm in that day, they called the Holy Ghost the helper, because he got you out of trouble. He was the one who helped you walk right, help you talk right. He still does from now on forever. Help you live right. Help you do right. Help you be right. Help you talk right. Help you say right. Help you give right. You wrestle with money and you let the money be your God. Yeah, but if you've got the Holy Ghost, he will help you give right. Amen. Lord, help me not to say that in the name of Jesus. All right. Said the Father, which sends the Comforter. Yeah, the Greeks called him the Parakletos, and you need that helper. All right, let me go on. So the Holy Ghost is our Comforter, which is the helper. Well, if you just use your common sense, you can go to a funeral and see what you need the helper for. You need the Comforter for. You lose your brother, your sister, you need the Comforter. Your daughter gets in trouble, you need the Comforter. Your son gets in trouble, you need the Comforter. You hurt yourself falling down the stairs, you fall down, you need the Comforter. That's why they be saying, I've fallen and I can't get up. They need the Comforter. They need the helper. And he will help you. Amen. He'll give you more sense than anybody, because he's got more sense than everybody. He knows what to do and how to do it. He'll begin to speak to your heart. So you need the helper. All right. Let me move on very quickly here. Now let me ask you, we know who he is according to John 14:26. What is the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism? The difference in getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is a great deal of difference. Let me just go straight to the scripture. Acts 2 and the 38th verse. The second chapter and the 38th verse. If you use, you got to use common sense when you read the Bible too. The Holy Ghost will give you common sense. All this stuff doesn't come from book knowledge, from studying all kinds of history and all that kind of stuff. This comes from the Holy Ghost and gives you common sense to understand what he's saying. Amen. If you listen to him, you'll give it. Acts 2:38. When Peter was there, there was a great crowd of people there in Jerusalem. And Peter said to the people these words, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." So he told them, the first thing you do is repent of all your mess, all your sins, and then be baptized. He was talking about water baptism there. Every one of you. So that's what we all have to do. Accept Jesus and repent that you're a sinner, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, all have sinned. I asked that question. I traveled around the whole nation. Everywhere I went, I said, how many would say, even to those who had been saved, I said, how many of y'all have been saved? They raised their hand. I said, well, now how many of y'all have messed up in some way since you've been saved? And traveled across the country, I never got one hand except one place I went, New York City. And I asked that question, and one lady raised her hand. After service, the pastor rushed over to me and said, "Dr. Johnson, Dr. Johnson, Dr. Johnson." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Please don't believe that woman who raised her hand." I said, "Why not?" He said, "She's crazy as a batty bug, been crazy all her life. Her children are crazy." Amen. And I want to say to you, when you come to Jesus and he forgives you of all your sins, the Bible says that you're to live for him and that you'll walk and be perfect as he is perfect. But you can't get it right overnight. You have to be trained and you have to be taught. And you have to learn. We got to start teaching this more. You got to learn how to live for Jesus. You can't expect a girl who walks in the door, whose skirt is all up on her thighs, and then she comes to Jesus and gets saved. You can't expect her to know everything about salvation and know everything about Jesus overnight. She has to be trained. And what am I saying this for? I'm trying to tell you that this is why people backslide so much. They haven't been trained. And they got to know that if they come to Jesus, that there is forgiveness even after you come to Christ. There is forgiveness for sins. For 1 John 1:8 says, as they were talking to Christians, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you. 1 John 1:10 says, if you say that you have not sinned, you make God a liar and his word is not in you. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, God. Now, what is the difference between folks who get saved and folks who backslide? The only difference, basically, is one decides to hold on, and the other one accepts the devil speaking to him, talking about, "Oh, you messed up now. You might as well go on back into the world of sin." Yeah. See, because, see, that person was still saved. They just need to repent of their sins and stay with the Lord. But, see, that devil, if we don't really start teaching that, the devil gets in their mind and tells them, "You messed up. Go on out into the world." See, that's one of his biggest ways, lack of words here, but that's one of his ways of trying to get people to leave Jesus Christ. And we need to teach them and train them that even when you get saved and you make a mistake, come back and apologize and repent What does repent mean? Don't go back there anymore. Just stay with the Lord, and the Lord will forgive you, and you live for Jesus Christ. They got to learn. All right? Now, I'm not finished here this morning, but I want to tell you this, that there is a great deal of difference between being saved and receiving the baptism. There's another level when you get saved. Don't just get in the first grade and stay there. Go to the second, third, fourth. There's one filling of the Holy Ghost and many refillings of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is the one who gives you that strength and power and keeping power to keep you saved. That's what you need. A lot of people who get saved, they never receive the Holy Ghost, and they don't have that keeping power. It is the one who keeps you saved and keeps you from all that other mess. Places you used to go, it keeps you from going there. Things you used to say, it keeps you from cussing folks out again. Yeah. Keeps you from going to the clubs. You don't even have a desire because the Holy Ghost takes all that out of your heart and it keeps you from doing those things. And it helps you in all those situations. That's what you need, the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it, you have a chasm in your life. You have a gap. You have a void. That's what you've been missing. That Holy, the Holy Ghost is why you got the void. You need the Holy Ghost to help you in the name of Jesus. When are you eligible to receive the Holy Ghost? As soon as you get saved. Because, see, he washes you and makes you whiter than snow. When you give your heart to Jesus, he cleanses you from all sin. And if you really are knowledgeable about receiving the Holy Ghost, ask the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And get all that mess out of your life. You've been cleaned up already when he saves you. Don't go back into the world of sin. Just start seeking the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And when you get your life cleaned up, as the Lord had just cleaned you up when you first get saved, and you start seeking him and want to live for the Lord, Mother Turpentine used to say you couldn't keep the Holy Ghost off you with the coat 45. He will come in. And let me tell you something. He speaks to you. He will come in and speak in an unknown tongue through you. That's scripture. Read the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and you'll see what I'm saying. Yeah, he speaks in an unknown tongue. That's one of the gifts